Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Mean Green Nation podcast, episode 37, or edition 37. How's it going, Greg?
Oh, it's going all right. It's a fine morning. The rain has moved out. The sun has come out, and that's because UNT won yesterday.
Yeah, I always like to say that it's always a nicer day after UNT wins. Just the world feels a little bit better, you know. Coffee tastes more coffee-like, has more kick to it. I'm drinking eggnog right now, like the non-alcoholic kind right now, just because I drink a lot of coffee and I'm trying something different. I'm on vacation also, so, you know, everything's a little weird, I guess.
Party time.
Yeah, I'm doing whatever I want. It's the best. I didn't even comb my hair this morning. It's also a Sunday. All right, so like in case you missed the big news, we won. UNT beat FIU, a terrible FIU team, 17-14 in a terrible game on a miserable kind of Saturday in front of pretty much no one. Is that about summing up right, you think?
Yeah, I don't think FIU was that terrible. I thought they had a pretty good defense, but yeah, I mean, it was an ugly football game on an ugly day, but hey, you know, think about how the seniors have played this group, and you know, I think it was a fitting end to their reign at UNT, because you know, they, a lot of the games they won were ugly, and you know, the physical type of game. So you know, I thought it was a fitting end.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me a little bit of Lance Dunbar's last game. It was similarly cold and wet and rainy and also sparsely attended when he ran for like 313 yards, I think it was, and four touchdowns against Middle Tennessee. Mm-hmm. It was the same kind of day, and it was a pretty good performance by everybody that I think we wanted to have a good performance from. Before the game, I kind of wrote a little post about, you know, all these guys like Derek Acuna, James Jones, Reggie Pegram, basically the entire offensive line, everybody that was gonna have their senior day in front of nobody, and you know, just kind of wanted to. I just wrote a little blurb like, "Hey, let's just remember what they did. It was nothing special." But I thought it was interesting that pretty much everybody that I listed had a great game. They had a good game.
Yeah. Yeah, all the seniors played very well yesterday. You know, the offensive line, they had to get it done because we really weren't going to be able to throw the football regardless of the weather. And the defense had to come out and play good, and they did. I mean, well, they didn't play good. They played great.
Yeah. Yeah, like Dan McCarney said in both of his interviews with the with American Sports Network sideline reporters, it kind of sucked that there were 14 points on the board because the defense didn't allow any points.
Right.
Yeah, it was the offense and the special teams, in case you're wondering how that happened. Yeah.
Yeah, and they had a good punt returner. Leonard was a good punt returner, and they shouldn't have never really kicked to him, and they did. And then we broke down with poor fundamentals, and we missed tackles because they had him, you know, they had him locked in, and he broke out of it, and then he was gone. And then the interception by McNulty. I mean, you know, running an out route where he has to throw from the left hash to the right hash to the sideline, that's not going to be his strong suit, and he should have stayed away from that throw because he doesn't have the arm to do it.
Yeah, that's been basically, I don't know, it's, every time we say it, it sounds like we're knocking him, but I mean, you know, he doesn't. You got to stay within your abilities, and that wasn't within his abilities. He doesn't have a cannon arm, so you shouldn't be throwing those kind of passes. And I kind of expected a benching after that. What did you think there? I threw up a little poll, like, and everybody wanted Dejon Williams. No surprise.
I knew he wasn't going to get benched, and I didn't think that he should get benched for that. I mean, we know the turnover problems that Dejon has and the problems he has securing the football. You knew it was going to rain in the second half, or I knew it was going to rain. Probably the coaching staff asked some guys, hey, is it going to rain? So they want somebody that's going to be able to at least handle the ball in the wet, you know, rain. And that's what McNulty could do, and Dejon struggles at that. And why put somebody out there that, has a chance of giving the other team more opportunities? McNulty, we know, is going to make one or two mistakes throwing the ball a game. He's going to have one interceptions. But with Dejon, it could be two interceptions and two fumbles.
Yeah, I think it's good to kind of elucidate all that. McNulty is driving the bus, and that's what Dan McCarney wants, is a bus driver.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that I want McNulty to be the guy next year or whatever. I'm just saying that you have to make – we have bad options at quarterback right now, and McNulty is the best bad option we had for that time.
Yeah. He was, speaking of McNulty, he was 9 of 20 for 105 yards, one touchdown, two picks. Not really the greatest showing. Reggie Pinkham, 26 carries, 114 yards, and one touchdown. And then, obviously he had that big score, the one, how many yards was it? 54 yards. So, I mean, that kind of puts it all into perspective. 54 yards of, was all in one play of his 114. It was kind of a poor offensive performance. You know what I mean? Like, they only scored 17 points. The offense looked pretty bad. I mean, some of that was the weather, but some of that was the offense. It's been this way. And some of it was, credit FIU. They have a pretty solid defense. I think for all the, I think we just kind of seen the same thing every week. I mean, last week we said the same thing. Poor offense, stagnant offense, no explosiveness, no creativity. I think people were tweeting the same thing, like, where's our offensive creativity? It's kind of the same thing over and over, run. I'm not really surprised by that. It's been North Texas football for the last 3-4 weeks, 5 weeks maybe. I'm wondering if this kind of plan is going to work against UTSA, though. UTSA has a good defense.
They do have a good defense. And, I don't know. I think from what I saw that McNulty only completed one pass in the first half. I mean, second half, sorry. So, UTSA has a good defense. They have a good defensive line. Our offensive line's kind of struggled at times. Mm-hmm. And, the teams that have really beat up on UTSA have kind of been those teams that had the good quarterbacks and that can throw the ball. We're going to have to throw the ball to beat them. And at this point, I don't know if we are capable of, throwing the ball efficiently. Not a lot, but efficiently. I think that's – you can't be 9 of 20, If McNulty was like – what was he in that FAU game? Wasn't he like – he only threw like two incomplete passes or something there?
Let me look it up. It's interesting that FIU and UTSA played a similar type of game. They went down. FIU went down to San Antonio and they lost 16-13. So kind of the same thing there. I don't know. Give you like a common opponent. All right, I'm looking up the FAU game.
Yeah. So I mean, when you look at both those teams, there's not a lot to play for in the standings, but. Obviously UTSA, they don't like us and they want to beat us and they want to finish their season strong. And they have all those seniors. This is going to be their senior day. So it's going to be a big emotional day for them. And then for us, you kind of look at avenging last year and ending the season on a high note. But here's the thing, and it's been this way ever since McCartney's been here, is we don't play well on the road at all.
Yeah, we've said this before, yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, Andrew McNulty was 12-16 for 107 yards against FAU.
So, I mean, he's going to have a little bit more than that to beat UTSA. We're going to have to throw for over 200 yards to beat UTSA.
It's ridiculous to say that, right? In modern day college football, say, man, really hope we can get over 200 yards passing.
Well, it's two bad offenses going against two. I'm going to say our defense is okay. We're good at home and we're bad on the road. We don't know what defense is going to show up for UNT.
Yeah. I think this game, everybody had a little more fire because it was a home game. Like you said, we played well at home, but also because it was senior day, everybody's moms and pas are there. Families are there.
I mean, UTSA is not going to really challenge us offensively.
No, they were pretty.
So.
They were bringing in their fourth string guy. They brought in like a freshman. They had a break the seal on a freshman guy because their quarterback Austin Robinson got hurt. Pretty much everyone's hurt. Blake Bogenschutz hurt is hurt. The starter Tucker Carter's hurt. So they're down to their fourth string guy, and it looked like it. And that was
Yeah,
extra.
both teams are pretty much down to their last hope at quarterbacks. I mean, God, it's pretty pitiful. What we're gonna see, I mean, it's two offensively challenged teams next Saturday, and if you're hoping for a shootout, you probably won't get it.
I think the thing that scares me about next week is that UTSA is going to be playing. It's going to be a senior day there, and it's not just like your typical senior day. It's going to be senior day for the 18 original seniors that started the program. So it's going to be like the end of an era kind of thing. And I think for whatever struggles they've had this year, I think they're going to kind of get it right for this final game in the Alamo Dome against a team that doesn't like them so much.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the emotions play into the game. And sometimes when you go into these emotional games, the team that like UTSA that's supposed to have the edge and everything, sometimes they don't play as well. There's a lot of pressure on those guys to go out and play well, and they want to end their career well. And instead of just going out there and playing football, they're going to be just trying a little maybe too hard, And the guys who aren't seniors who are trying, they want to do so well for the seniors that, maybe they push themselves into making mistakes. UNT's coming into this game, they got no pressure on them, no reason, to be worried about anything. They just got to go play football. Nothing to lose.
Yeah, see, I'd like to think that, and I mean, it's certainly a way to rationalize it, right? To say, yeah, I mean, we have nothing to play for. We're gonna play well. We're gonna play loose, but we haven't really played that way. I mean, you would think that we kind of could have played that way last week, right? Or I mean, yesterday is what I mean. And we did for like the first quarter. It was like the same thing against FAU. We come out, we run the ball well, and then we can't do anything else, and then we just kind of hold on and not lose, which is not bad. I mean, we won both those games, both those terrible games against the Floridas. But I don't know. I just kind of, given the fact that the season has been basically since the UTEP game, but a little bit before that, kind of an exercise in preparing for next year and getting better and seeing who we have. I don't think that we've seen very much improvement. I don't think we've seen what we have, other than like we don't have anything.
Oh, it's because we don't have a quarterback. It's hard to, see if our receivers can do anything if they can't get the ball to them. And I mean, on defense, I don't know. Yeah, the season's just a loss at this point. There's really no more explanations that you can throw out there. We really don't know what we have going into next year. We're losing a lot of good players from this team. You're losing the Laramie Lees and the Derek Okunes and the James Jones, and how do you replace those guys? And how are you going to replace the offensive linemen that we lose? They struggled this year. How are we going to look next year if we have McNulty behind, four new guys?
Yeah, you know what? I think instead of kind of complaining about, the season, what we can do is maybe is go run through all the seniors and kind of talk about the good they did. Let's start with Derek Okune. He's like was like three straight seasons with 90 plus tackles. I think he's on the 300 plus tackle list now,
Yeah,
career-wise.
he's done everything right. And like McCartney said last night in his post-game show is, he's been every bit as good as Zach Orr was last year. It's just, some of the players around him haven't been as good. He isn't as, he's not on as good a team, but he's still performing at a really high level.
I think I mentioned that too. Like James Jones has had a really great year this year, and I wonder if we're kind of what is the word? We're shorting him a lot of credit just because the entire defense hasn't played as well. You know, but he's played really well.
No, yeah, he's been one of the best, if not the best, you know, defensive back we've had this year. Yeah. He's been put in a lot of bad situations. He's made a lot of good plays. I mean, he's got 7 pass breakups, 10 pass defended, you know, 2 recovered fumbles, got 50 INTs. He got 54 tackles for a corner. You know what's not good is Laramie Lee, James Jones, and Kenny Byers, Sheldon Wade. Those guys are like in the top 5 of our tackle list. It's not good when your secondary people are making all those tackles.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's great if they're doing that in the backfield and coming up to make short tackles, but it hasn't been that way. Yeah, you're right. It's the bad kind of tackles they're making.
I mean, last year was all the linebackers that were up there. So. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's been a poor season. The defense hasn't played as well, and we kind of knew they weren't going to be 2013. I keep saying that, but yeah, Derek Acuna's played well. You know, he's another in a long line of UNT linebackers that have, I don't know, we're not quite linebacker U, but you know, we've produced a couple of guys that have gone to be in the NFL, and I mean that's saying something there, right? Not every. Right. University does that. Zach Orr is, you know, making a living in the NFL right now. Craig Robertson making a living in the NFL right now. You know, Cody Spencer a couple years ago, he played a handful of seasons in the NFL. So, you know, you can do that at North Texas. You can play linebacker here and you might get a shot. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not an NFL scout guy. I don't really do that kind of thing. But I wouldn't put it past Derek Acuna to, you know, get a shot, get a run.
See what happens. He won't get drafted. It would be like an undrafted free agent or, you know, just get a shot in a camp, you know, kind of like Trice did, something like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, those NFL guys, they see every bit of tape on everybody. So he'll just try and get in one of those regional combines or something, show his skills, and hopefully catch the eye of some scout somewhere. And maybe he gets a shot.
Yeah, I mean, you don't make 90-plus tackles every year of your college football career and not have some talent and not have some football smarts. So I expect he'll get a decent shot.
Yeah. And think about how he did that this year with, you know, no real help from the defensive line in front of them.
Yeah, it's
true. You know, he often, a lot of times, having to fight off a blocker to go make a play. You know, so his year is, you know, really good. He had a really good year, and they're going to miss him next year.
Yeah, I'm fairly confident in replacing him, though, just because we have kind of replaced everybody. Like, we lost Zach Orr, but we had Derek Acuna. We lost, before Zach Orr, there was, he kind of played at the same time, Craig Robertson. And I was looking back at the list, at the leading tacklers, and you know, the star linebacker has been replaced by an equally good, if not better, linebacker. Like Toby Nwigwe, everybody was wondering, you know, what was going to happen when we lost him. And then Zach Orr, Craig Robertson, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I think the hardest guy, the hardest senior to replace on the defensive side would probably be Laramie Lee.
Yeah, he hasn't had the highlight reel year like he had last year. And a lot of that is because, you know, like the defense has kind of required him to do things that he's not best at. Like he's best at coming downhill and being like the fourth linebacker. Right. And right now he's had to play a lot in coverage, which is not really his strong suit, and he's gotten beat, and he hasn't really got to do what he does best.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be tough. They don't really have anybody on the roster right now that can replace him. Coverage or, you know, coming up. No, they lose Sheldon Wade. He had an okay year. I mean, he had 50 tackles, but I think the young freshman, the Keyshawn McClain, I think he'll be able to replace Sheldon Wade pretty easily.
Everybody's high on Keyshawn McClain. Dan McCarty said he's awesome.
Yeah, he's just an athlete back there, you know. He played quarterback in high school. He played running back in high school. He played defense in high school and played it at a high level. So, yeah, I mean, he's an athletic specimen back there.
Sweet. Yeah. James Jones. He came in last year. He was a JUCO guy, right? He came in last year and basically started for Because who were our starting quarterbacks last year? It was Zach Whitfield and
Hilbert Jackson.
Yeah, yes. And they basically got replaced by Kenny Byers and James Jones. And that's because both of those guys can tackle. But James Jones is probably better in coverage than Kenny Byers. Like, and you know this just because everybody targets Kenny Byers. Right. Going deep and on the coverage stuff. James Jones he's really underrated. I mean, he covers well. He can make tackles. And, and he can hit. It's everything you need. It's everything you need for the kind of corner that we play in our system. And he's been awesome. And if it wasn't for him, he and Kenny Byers were the final pieces of the puzzle that were, you know, that defense. We finally had a line that was getting pressure. You know, we said everything that there is to say about Laramie Lee and Marcus Trice. But we needed guys on the corners that could come up and make a tackle. That 10-2 style tackle kind of thing. And that was James Jones. That's Kenny Byers. Who's going to replace that guy?
Well, we still have Zach Whitfield. He hasn't played much this year, but we still have him and Chad Davis, the other corner that was he redshirted last year. Did he play last year? Is he a sophomore this year? I can't remember. But he was a pretty high recruit guy, and he's played in 10 games. He's played good at times. He's a sophomore. Chad is. So those would be your two candidates to replace James Jones, either Chad Davis or Zach Whitfield. Yeah, probably going to be Whitfield.
Yeah. And, you know, like, and Zach Whitfield has been, he's been good. He's made some interceptions, made some good plays. He's gotten beat in kind of some of the longer routes, and he makes some kind of some coverage mistakes sometimes. And I think that's why James Jones beat him out.
Right, and you also have to imagine who's making that transition from running back to defensive back. And sometimes it may take a few years to fully grasp all the concepts and all the coverages and all the reads that you're trying to make. And, you know, who knows, maybe next year he's, you know, better. I'd expect him to be better.
Yeah, and that's not to say that he was bad. Like I said, I think when you're a corner, like, everybody notices when you get beat deep. Or when you make a terrible play, when you drop an interception. But, you know, outside of that, he's been really good. I think just James Jones has been a little bit more outstanding, you know. And you just look at he's a playmaker, right? Getting interceptions, scooping up fumbles. He's the one that scored against Texas. And he had a pick six against Nichols, I think.
He's in and around the ball, He had the interception yesterday, too.
Yeah, that's what it's the other one. And then the entire offensive line, Mason White-Barbo, Cyril Lemon. I mean, these are the guys that the problem with the offensive line, I guess you can count like pancake blocks or something like that, but I mean, you can only measure their contribution indirectly by saying, look how many yards the running backs ran for while they were blocking. Look how few times their quarterbacks got sacked while these guys are pass blocking. You know, if you're like a lineman connoisseur, you can see how good these guys are, and they've kind of struggled this season, and a lot of it's like struggling by their own standards. They haven't lived up to their own standards. So,
right, yeah, you know, we had to move Cyril Lemon out to tackle, and he wasn't really comfortable there. You could tell with some of the speed rush guys on whenever we went back to pass, he struggled with that. We're more spread out, you know, this year. We weren't, you know, that grind, you know, physical run team there for a while. And so that kind of, you know, helped with our struggling. And you don't know, like, all the other issues, you know. When you don't have a good quarterback and you can't pass the ball and you're constantly facing more people than you can block, you know, that still looks bad on the offensive line. Yeah. So, I mean, there's all kinds of other factors that went into them struggling this year. But, yeah, they were supposed to be, you know, one of the best offensive lines in the country, and they weren't. And so, it's disappointing, but we're probably going to miss those guys a lot next year because we're playing Indiana, and I think Cyril Lemon had to come out for one play, and his replacement came in and gave up a sack right away. That put us out of field goal position. And, I mean, he just got whipped. And I was like, well, we'll probably be in trouble next year. We got some good guys, you know, the transfer from SMU, Sam Rice,
yeah,
and some of the guys that redshirted this year. And so, you know, we always seem to be, we think we're going to not be okay on the offensive line, but our offensive line coach, Mike Simmons, does a hell of a job. And so I think we'll be okay, but I don't think we'll be great.
We talked about it before we hit record, but yeah, you want to give a shout out to UNT president Neil? How do you pronounce his last name?
I think it's Samarstrick.
Yeah,
I believe so.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, he hooked you up with some seats in the president in his own suite, his own personal suite.
Yes, his own personal suite. You know, he was gracious and grateful enough. I reached out to him on Twitter. I went to the Texas State, Arkansas State game on Thursday night with my wife. She got us tickets to her president's suite, and I got to meet the Texas State president. And while I was there, I tweeted at the UNT president, you know, hey, I'm Texas State, you know, president, gave me tickets to her suite. Any chance that I could get tickets to your suite? And he was kind enough to respond to me, and he gave me two suite passes on Saturday, and I got to meet him. And, you know, all you can say about him is UNT's in good hands. And, you know, very thankful for that once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. But that doesn't mean that I want to be in a suite every game. I enjoy sitting with the crowd.
You enjoy sitting with the proletariat down there with the common folk?
Yeah, you know, my wife got on to me. She was like, you need to wear jeans and you need to dress nice. And I was like, I'm not putting my fancy pants on. I'm a fan. I'm going to go dress like a fan. You know, I'm not doing all this. So yeah, it was fun. It was a good time. Got to meet a little, you know, all the higher ups and whatnot. So yeah,
that's cool.
Definitely thanks to him.
Look at you out there hobnobbing with the fancy folk. So that's cool. Yeah, so Greg, Greg texted me like right before the game. He's like, I got tickets in there. Look at me in the presidential suite, and you know, he tweets his picture from up on high. I was like, what is this? What is this nonsense?
I knew on Friday, but I wanted to wait until I had the tickets in my hand and I was in the suite to let you know. But when I told my wife that, you know, it had worked, she was just in shock for about 30 minutes. She was like, I can't believe you. And I mean, when I first did, you know, asked him on Twitter, she was like, you shouldn't do that. You know, I was like, why? You never know unless you ask. You
yeah,
know?
I mean, yeah, that's the lesson there. It's like, you don't know unless you ask, you know?
Yeah. The worst thing that could happen is he doesn't respond at all. And even then, I wouldn't have even cared, you know. Or if he would have replied back with a funny comment or something, you know. I just knew he was active on Twitter, and so I just tried. And, hey, it worked. And I got to meet two presidents of two Texas universities in 3 days and watch two football games in their suites. I got to see two victories. I got to eat some free food, meet some higher-up people. And so, yeah, not a lot of people can say they did that.
Yeah, look at you. You know, see, that reminds me. Everybody was kind of jokingly saying that UNT should, you know, kick the tires on Will Muschamp, you know, as he winds down his career at Florida. And, you know, I don't think it's out. I think if maybe Dan McCarney called him up and said, hey, you're not going to make a whole lot of money doing it, but why don't you come down here and coach up the defense? You know, you never know. Maybe he wants a gig. You don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a lot of other schools that call, too. I mean,
sure,
South Carolina,
sure.
Yeah. You know, SEC schools are going to call. Big 12 schools are going to call. Big 10 schools are going to call. And maybe a smaller school that loses a head coach, maybe they're going to call, too. And so you don't know where he's going to go. I mean, you know, like you said, why not? Why not try and see? But
Worst he could do is laugh in his face, I guess, you know, but whatever.
I think he might, you know. I don't think he would laugh in his face. I think he would respect McCarney if he called him,
yeah,
but he would just kind of say, I'm just kind of keeping my options open at this time, but I'll take your offer in, you know, kind of that thing.
Yeah,
you know?
I'll put it on the list of maybes there, you know.
Yeah, he'll ask, so you're making X amount of money. Do you think I could get more than you, or do I have to take less? Can I coach the offense too? I mean, their offensive philosophies are very similar. They just like to, you know, beat their heads into a rock.
Yeah.
You know, so that, I mean, they would really work well together, I think.
Yeah, they both agree that running the ball, even when they shouldn't, is the best idea. And they'd high-five each other, yeah.
And then we could groom Muschamp into the coach-in-waiting.
Yeah, I mean, UT already gave him that coach-in-waiting gig, right? So we know he goes for it, right? Yeah, you'd be the coach-in-waiting here in North Texas. All I'm saying is that it doesn't hurt to ask. Hey, Will, you want to be the coach, the defensive coach here at North Texas? By the way, we have a listener right now, a live listener. If you, live listener, have any hot sports opinions, just tweet at us. Or I think there's like a little chat window you can chat in there. So just let me know.
We appreciate your business on this fine Sunday morning after a UNT win on a day where UNT basketball will be challenged.
Yeah, that's the other thing we're going to talk about as we get on with the podcast. How far are we into it? We're about halfway through with this thing. So I guess it's a good time after kind of recapping the game. There's not much to recap.
No, we won. Yeah, it was ugly. It rained. I got to sit in a suite and not get rained on. Great day.
Yeah, there you go. The message boards are going crazy. People complaining about who's the better fan, who's going to tailgate. You want to talk about the attendance really quick?
I appreciate everybody that showed up. I know the football team does. I was going to go out and sit out there regardless if I was in a suite or not. I appreciate all the students that came out. You know, those are true fans right there too.
Yeah.
As well. I don't like to get into that whole you're a better fan if if it's raining, you don't want to get sick that time of the year, if it's on TV, you know, sometimes you can't fault those people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, the one thing, and Amanda talked to me, that's my wife, about this, you know, when we went to the Texas State game, because she has never been to one.
Really?
And,
she's a bad fan.
Well, I mean, basically, their university, they invite alumni to go to one free game a year. They give them a parking pass. They invite them to the president's suite. And basically, they're just trying to get them to then, you know, give back to the university and go to the games.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, while we were sitting there, she was like, why doesn't UNT do this? You know, why don't they do something similar? Because when she was sitting there, she was like, I want to give back to my university now. She was feeling that connection of when she was in school.
Yeah.
And she didn't get to do a lot of that. So maybe that's something UNT should try and do, you know. Alumni that haven't been to a football game or don't donate, you know, and invite them to the president's suite for a game. You know, maybe they feel that connection and they want to give money or, you know, go to the games, you know, something different. I don't know. I wanted to throw that out there. But, all the fans that were there, you know, great that you were there. It doesn't make you a better fan than someone that wasn't there, though.
Yeah, I don't know. That whole thing is weird. I don't know. I feel like I'm of the mind that if you're a fan of something, you know, you are a fan of something for your own reasons. Some of it is like you like football, and so you just like watching football. Some of it is that you just like support anything about your university because it's yours and whatever. I mean, your reasons are your own, and, you know, showing up and not tailgating or tailgating and not going to whatever, you know. I think if you just kind of give it a good faith effort, then that's fine. And that's kind of really it. It's like with anything else. It's like if you're gonna complain about all this stuff and not actually do what you can about it, then that's kind of lame. You know, I don't like when people complain and then don't do anything. You know what I mean? Just you're just, it's the laziest kind of anything. It's not even just like being a fan. It's just, you know, like, people at work or something like that complaining about the way things are. Like, why don't you, you know, make an effort to help change it then if you care so much to complain about it, you know?
Right. And, you know, whatever happens with UNT, if they win or lose, I'm going to support my university. I'm going to support them. I'm going to hope that they do better. In the same way, I'm a Browns fan. They struggled for so long. But, you know, every time somebody sees me wearing their stuff, you know, and it might be after a win, they'll be like, oh, you broke it out just because they won. I'm like, no, I wear it all the time. I wear it because that's my team. That's who I root for. I wear UNT stuff regardless of how bad they do, you know. And that doesn't make me better than the, next person that doesn't wear it. I mean, I just think that if you're going to be a good fan, just support your team no matter what happens. You can complain about it, but you know what? Go to the game, support them, watch them on TV, donate, do something like you said. Don't just sit there and complain on a message board about, everything that sucks, and then, like you said, don't do anything about it.
Yeah. And then, with that said, there are a lot of people that do, and they tailgate all the time, and they donate lots of money. And, if you do a lot of that stuff, and you do kind of feel like you're kind of
entitled.
Owed something. Yeah. And I think maybe that's a dangerous spot to be in, where you feel like you deserve something. Like, I donated everything, I need some money, maybe that's time to take a step back or something. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is there. I'm just saying that it's probably not healthy.
It's almost like you're investing in the university and you're just hoping for a return on your investment. You're like, I put so much money in. I put so much of my time. All I'm not asking for you to give me money back. I'm asking for you to give me a win and satisfaction so I can go to work on Monday morning and tell, fan of such and such university that we kick your ass.
Yeah.
That's all you want. That's all you really want as a fan. Want people to see you wearing that North Texas green and be like, hey, you guys are doing pretty good. You'd be like, yes, we are.
Yeah. I mean, and there's a fine line, yeah, like I said, from wanting your university to do well and not being satisfied with, mediocrity, because I think just saying, just enjoy the camaraderie, enjoy the games, win or lose, support your team. I think the counter argument to that is I know what a good program it could be. I know what a good university is, and I'd like it to be that because right now we're not. And accepting this without saying anything about it is just kind of accepting mediocrity. So I understand that argument also. I just anyway, I'm just thinking about it. A lot of this stuff comes out when your team is down in the dumps, when you're not winning, and I think this is just as much of support as last year going to the bowl game was. It's the same thing, You support you think about what went wrong, what have I done as a fan? What could I do better?
You go to the bowl game and then you start seeing all these people that you've never seen before and you're like, who are you? And you get a little upset because you're like, why weren't you at all the other games, bro?
Mm-hmm. Was it 36,000 people, right?
Yeah.
Apogee holds 30,000. Where were you guys? that's the thing. And you realize that there's a lot of bandwagon fans, and there's a lot of fans that are a lot of people. And life is short, and if you don't love football that much, it's kind of hard to go watch terrible football when you could be out doing something else. So I get that too. I get that also. Sometimes UNT football has sucked so bad that I'll just DVR the game and I'll do something else and then I'll just kind of quickly go through it. And, that's because who else in their right mind does it? I mean, I'm here doing a podcast. We're here doing a podcast. So we're obviously a little crazy already,
True.
I don't like to bash the non-obsessive people, I understand that I'm a little weird. All right, so that's that. Speaking of obsession, basketball. They played a few games. This is the kind of schedule, the kind of part of the season of college basketball that no one pays attention to.
I do.
Yeah, except we obsessive folk. I got to watch a little bit of the games kind of towards the end there. I was kind of busy. We play Iona today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's at home. Sure.
So
you previewed and you broke down the wins against Delaware State and Nicholls. So you want to kind of give us a recap. What have we learned from the basketball team in this last week?
Not much yet. They got challenged a little bit against Delaware State, and I think today they're going to get challenged a little bit more. They've fallen in love with this 3-2 zone. Not a 2-3 zone like the radio guys were wrong in saying for the first time. It's a 3-2 zone. And basically what they're just trying to do is the teams that have the good perimeter players, they're just trying. That's why you run a 3-2 zone. If a team can shoot threes, have good perimeter players, you run a 3-2. If they don't shoot good threes, then you run a 2-3. So that's the kind of difference. So today we're playing Iona. They're one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country, and you're going to see a lot of 3-2 zone. And I'm not a fan of it because I don't think we run a very good zone. I think that I didn't get to watch the Delaware State game, but I know against Nicholls State, Nicholls got a lot of open shots, and they just missed. And I don't know what happened in the Delaware State game, but I know Iona is not going to miss a lot of shots like Nicholls and probably like Delaware State. So basically, if one of their guards is able to penetrate our 3-2 zone, they'll be able to kick the ball out, get an open shot, and it won't be that hard. I'm more of a favor of the man-to-man. I think zone defense is for the teams that can't play defense. Yeah, so they have to.
That's what my coach always said.
So they have to mask it by doing something. And I think our guys are good enough to play man-to-man. I think we have enough athletes. So today's game, we're really going to have to defend the perimeter. We're going to have to avoid, you know, the penetration, keep people out of the lane. And then the other thing is Iona is not a good rebounding team. They're only averaging, I think, like 29 rebounds a game. They're like, their offensive rebounding percentage is like one of the worst in the country. So we have to kill them on the glass when they do miss, because their offense is really good. You know, kill them on the offensive glass, kill them on when we're on offense, you know, get those rebounds as well. And that's one area where we have a chance at winning. It's going to be a tough game because they're picked to win their conference. I don't think they won their conference last year. They won their regular season. They've had like five straight seasons where they won over 20 games. They're a guard-oriented team. Their leading scorer's AJ English. He's averaging like 21 points a game. But they're not very deep. They only have like four guys that are their main scorers, and they only have six guys who really get significant playing time. So, I mean, maybe we could try. We just have to wear them down.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, in the Delaware State game, we didn't shoot threes very well. I saw, like, the tail end of it. Like, it seemed, you know, Delaware State seems kind of like a team that we should beat up pretty easily. But we were shooting, we shot something like 28%, I think. Like, six of 21 from three. We shot 40% overall. You know, we kind of out-athleted them towards the end, and they were hitting some threes. They went 8 of 21, so they shot a little bit better. They just hit two more than we did. You know, so there you go. It was, we kind of struggled a little bit. We couldn't make some shots. We turned the ball over.
We've struggled shooting the ball from downtown. And, you know, I think Iona's smart enough to recognize that. I don't know if they play a 2-3 zone or not. But if I was any coach at all, and I've seen the tape that we have, I'd be playing a 2-3 zone against us all day long. Yeah. You got to force guys to, you know, beat you from the outside. And we really only have Jordan Williams and maybe TJ Taylor and Maurice Anafiak. You know, those are our outside shooters. But we need more help. We need more, you know, more scoring from our guard play if we're going to be good at all. Because if you look at around the league, like Old Dominion, they beat somebody good the other night. You know, Louisiana Tech is good.
Yeah, Old Dominion beat Johnny Jones. LSU, they beat LSU.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's good, a lot of good teams in our league. So, it's going to be an interesting matchup. I don't think we're going to beat Iona. I think it's going to be a close game, though. I think we'll probably lose by like 4 or 5 points.
All right, quick look around the league. Charlotte beat Penn State in double overtime in the Charleston Classic. USF beat UAB. Alabama beat Southern Miss, and Southern Miss is pretty decent. Harvard beat FAU. Louisville beat Marshall, 85-67, and ODU beat LSU, as you mentioned, in the U.S. Virgin Islands Paradise Jam. FIU beat Florida Memorial. I don't know what that is. Charlotte beat South Carolina in the Charleston Classic, and Louisiana Tech beat Morehouse. Is that Morehouse? 73-64. Yesterday, UTSA took on Texas State, and they beat them 80-67. I was seeing some tweets about this game. Apparently, like, UTSA looks pretty good, or better than they have in a while. They have that
Yeah, that's not saying
Australian.
much.
Yeah. They had all five guys in double figures, something like that. Middle Tennessee beat, was it? I don't know. SOU? I don't know who that is. Louisiana Tech beat American. William and Mary beat Rice 69-65. And Belmont beat Western Kentucky by 1 point. And then UTEP beat New Mexico State.
There yeah, it's hard to really find out what your teams and how good they are this early in the season. There's going to be upsets and teams that should be teams that, you know, they have no reason being in the game.
Yeah.
And so, basically, you know, we have to treat the non-conference schedule, just get better. Find ways to get better. Find the rhythm with one another because, again, you know, a lot of these guys are playing with each other for the first time. Do we have good players? Yes, I think we have some good players. Are we better than last year? Yes, we're better than last year. I think we're better with our point guard play. I think we're better in the...
We're better shooting the ball, definitely.
We're better in the front court. I think we have guys that we can throw the ball down to that can score. You know, Colin Voss was really the only guy last year. Now you add Jeremy Combs. You had Ahmed. And you also have a Marnie Flanagan who's playing well, too. You know, he had a great game against Delaware State.
Yeah, he basically kind of won the game there with his play down the stretch.
Yeah, so we have a bunch of athletic guys that, you know, have some decent talent, and we just kind of need to use this non-conference schedule to gel together. You know, get everything in order by the time we get to conference play. Because, you know, we're never going to get an at-large bid. We just got to be playing really well at the end of the season to make a run in our conference tournament.
Yeah, we said this, like, yeah, we basically said the same thing last week, that it's about, you know, like, the non-conference is about preparing for conference play, and conference play is about getting a good seed in the conference tournament. The conference tournament is the means to get into the NCAA tournament. And once you're there, you know, at this program's level at this point in the program's trajectory, getting to the NCAA tournament is an accomplishment in and of itself. You know, like, we can talk about, you know, what to do there later on once we have a team that they, you know, is predicted to get there. So, you know, that's pretty much the expectations for the season. I'd like to see a good, you know, I think like 16 wins is what they're kind of judging Tony Benford on now. So I think you predicted 18 or something like that? You said about 16?
Yeah, I think I said 18 wins is what I had.
Yeah. So I think Vito reported that 18 or 16 wins is about like the improvement point that Rick Villarreal said as much, that, you know, we got to see improvement. We got to see improvement. And that's, I'm guessing that's an improvement point. You see, we had I had a little blog conversation with Brett Vito. That was fun.
I did see that. Yeah, I mean, with this year's team, they're going to be. I think there's a lot of good, fun players to watch. You know, Flanagan's exciting. T.J. Taylor's, you know, he can be explosive.
And kind of interesting. Yeah,
Jordan Williams. He struggled shooting the ball so far. He's like 4-15 from the 3-point range.
You know, he had that same kind of problem last year. Like, he started out slow, and then he picked it up, and then all of a sudden he couldn't miss from three, like late in the year.
Yeah, the one kid, DeAndre Harris. He to me, he may be our best perimeter player outside of Jordan Williams because he seems to be the one guy that can get the ball and get past somebody and get to the hoop. You know. Like, I like T.J. Taylor, I like Jordan Williams, but, you know, when they drive, it doesn't seem like they're as explosive getting to the basket. DeAndre Harris, when I've seen him, he can get it, he can do a little shake, get around the guy, get to the hoop. Yeah, you know, we don't have a lot of guys who can, you know, create their own shot.
Yeah, and then, so if you don't have that, that puts an imperative on, you know, the system to create shots for people. That means people
right.
have to execute. So, yeah,
and they kind of struggle with that. And another thing, I think our we haven't been as patient on offense. I'd like to see us be a little bit more patient, you know, not force things. You know, there was a couple times against Nichols where our bigs, you know, Jeremy Combs or Ahmed, they get the ball at the top of the key and they try to drive to the basket. And I'm like, there's no reason you should be doing that because they're putting the ball on the floor and then they're kicking it around. And you're like, why? Why are you doing that? You know, you don't want to see that. You know, if you're going to dribble, make sure you're like 2 feet from the basket.
Dribble with purpose. Yeah, so I guess the next time we'll talk, UNT basketball will have played Iona, and who else are they playing this week? Is that it? Is that all the games for this week?
No, I'm not sure who
they
else
play Wednesday. They play Mississippi Valley State, and then they play Arkansas on Friday.
Wait, yeah. Is this week? So,
yeah.
I think we'll know a little bit more about how well we play after the Arkansas game and the Iona game.
Yeah,
specifically, the Arkansas game is really going to challenge us because, you know, that's what's his name, Mike Williams, that played. He coached at Missouri for a while, and they played that 40 minutes of hell where they pressure the ball, you know, full court.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be interesting to see how our guards react to that.
Yeah, that's going to be on ESPN3, in case you're wondering. You can tune in for that one. The Iona Mississippi Valley State games, those are at home, so you can watch those on Mean Green All Access. And I've been trying to tune into those games. Mean Green All Access is a much better service than the old New Lion provided one. I forgot what it was called before. But yeah,
I don't know.
I don't even know it's called Mean Green All Access anymore. It's called College Sports Live Super Time, Super Fun Time. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So nobody, I'm thinking because nobody went to the football game, no one's going to come down here. And I'm going to be the only one in green at the UTSA game. I think that's what's going to happen.
I think there might be a few people there. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not going.
Yeah,
think there might be a few people that planned before the season that they were making this trip and they made the reservations. And so, you know, they're going to travel down there. And we have some alumni down there, right? San Antonio, you know?
Yeah. I think the alumni in San Antonio are even less responsive than the ones in there's like, what, 200,000 in Dallas? And, I met up with some of the alumni here, and I didn't even know any of them. There's people at my work that went to UNT that I didn't even know they went to UNT until it, like, came up in conversation. I was like, you're not following the football team or nothing? Like, during the bowl game and everything. They're like, oh, well, you know. Like, yeah, I remember Denton. Like, come on, guy. Come on. Yeah. So it's going to be hard to kind of stir those echoes, I guess. So, yeah, this is a more subdued Mean Green Nation podcast today. Hope everybody has a happy Thanksgiving. I think the next time we'll talk to you, it'll be post-Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it'll be on Sunday.
Yeah.
Everybody will be full from their turkey and their football and their basketball, you know, all the wins that we're going to rack up here, you know.
Basketball is looking good. You know, they look plucky. I like plucky.
Plucky.
I could deal with plucky.
It's funny. They get Arkansas. Then they got to go. Well, they got to go to Arkansas, Oklahoma State, Stephen F. Austin. Then they get a break with Langston. Then they get Creighton at home. That's a tough stretch.
Yeah, well, that's what like Benford was saying, right? That he likes the schedule this year. It's like some tough games, really going to challenge us. We got some good games at home, so.
Yeah, not sure they can win any of those games. I know they won't beat Stephen F. Austin. They'll probably get drilled by them.
Yeah, they're pretty good. All right, everybody, go Mean Green. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Visit MeanGreenNation.com. We're posting things mostly about the basketball team now. We got a few more things to wrap up about the football team. Final thoughts. If you have some like final thoughts, yeah, you can post them on there too. And talk about it. There's a forum there, and it's the easiest place to do it, to get a hold of anybody. Unused forum, pretty much. What else is there? What else is there? Am I forgetting something?
Yeah, we appreciate your feedback. And I mean,
yes.
It's not going to hurt our feelings, whatever you want to say. If you think we suck, tell us we suck. If you like us, tell us you like us. If you want to see something different, tell us that too, because, you know, we're open to trying different things.
Yeah, some of the best ideas that we got were because of some feedback. I think it's like everybody's like, because football has died down, like the enthusiasm for it, The enthusiasm for everything else has died down. You don't see so many people tweeting about the games on Twitter. You don't see so many people posting on the message board outside of the diehards. You know, it's understandable, and I get it. So, there you go. It's all right, guys. It's all right. There's always you can always pick up your copy of NCAA Football 14 and, you know, play out the season as you wish it would have happened. Like, I beat number 8 Florida at the Swamp, like, yesterday. Yeah.
Wow. Aren't you proud of yourself? You know, you could go.
Yeah, you were bragging about you beating Texas earlier this year. So.
Yeah, I stomped them. I'm like in year, I don't know what year I am. I'm, you know, North Texas, I've won like 17 national championships in a row. We average like 400 yards rushing and 250 yards passing a game. I mean, we're just unstoppable. Nothing can stop us.
Everything is as it should be then, right?
If you go to, there's a website called Game Rosters, and you have your, whatever you play, PlayStation, Xbox, hooked up to the internet, you can download the newest rosters from this year. Basically, they put in all the names of all the players, and they kind of rated them. And they did a pretty good job. They forgot some people on UNT's roster, but still, you know, it's the best way now since they haven't made a new one for you to get, you know, at least updated rosters.
You know, it's kind of sad. They used to do that same thing for, it was like college football or college basketball 2K8, I think it was. Like all the way up until like last year, they left the servers open. So people were making, they were creating new basketball rosters. And so, like, I was looking into it because I wanted to get Tony Mitchell on the team, you know, and play some digital college basketball. But they shut down the servers, so you got to deal with, you know, old school stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Game rosters, I think it was like, I paid like $20 to get them. And it was worth it, too, so.
Yeah.
You know, when you're winning a Heisman with Andrew McNulty, I mean, come on, man. That's just, you just can't make that shit up.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, because I think the default guy on there is, you know, Brock Berglund, right? And, you know, he got drafted by the, he got drafted in the 6th round of the NFL. So that's what happened in this, in my reality that I was playing in.
McNulty didn't get drafted. I think they rated him at, like, 76. And I think Josh Greer was, like, 70. And then Dejon was, like, 64. He was the worst quarterback out of everybody.
Yeah, I don't know, like, I have, like, Jordan Gill. Like, he used to, I left him on the roster, and, like, so Brock Berglund graduated, and like, so he just kind of a placeholder. Like, I have a good rushing attack, and I was like, I switched up my offense. I kind of took out a lot of the option plays, and so now it's a lot of throwing plays, because this guy has, like, ridiculous accuracy now. He's, like, 95. And so I was, like, picking him apart. 317 yards and 4 touchdowns in the Swamp. Pull it out with the last second field goal.
You got to get that defense going. The first year, actually, it wasn't McNulty who won the Heisman. It was, what's his name? Sheldon Wade won the Heisman, the safety.
What? Like, what level do you play on? Because I play on Heisman.
On Heisman. He had 60 sacks.
I don't believe you.
I'm sorry. It's just a play that I run that I get pressure with the safety.
Yeah.
It's all about speed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I used to play NCAA a lot, like especially in college. Like I'd go back to my dorm room and I'd play it and then win titles. It was fun. I don't do it as much anymore. I mostly do it like on vacation is when I indulge in my video game stuff. Like I'm on vacation now, so I played NCAA like pretty much all Saturday. Like I was watching the game and playing NCAA. And
it's the only way for North Texas to be good is for you to make them good on the video game.
Yeah, that's what everybody did. Many a person has done. I've seen like people on the message board. There's like people high up on the like the all time, like just like list. There's like a couple people like, I forget their names now, but there's a couple people I recognize that have been around for a while that play the game a lot. Anyway, it's fun.
There was a British guy who like was reviewing the game when he first got it, and he was playing North Texas versus like Boston College, and it was the funniest thing to watch. He's all like cussing in his British accent. He was like, "Oh, you're a Texas boy. You should be making that tackle." He was saying all kinds of stuff. Every time he made a play, he was like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." I was like, "Oh my god!" It was pretty hilarious.
So yeah, I gotta play you. You play PlayStation? Is that you play?
Or you? Yeah, PS3. I play a PS1.
I gotta beat you at the game. I'll play North Texas versus North Texas or something like that. All right, that's enough video game talk. Everybody have a good one.
Have a good and safe, happy Thanksgiving.